In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today is the third Sunday of the blessed month of Tuba, and in it we hear about the disciples of St. John going to him and telling him that Christ is baptizing. And it almost seems like the disciples of St. John are going to St. John hoping, wishing, or expecting St. John to do something or put a stop to what Christ was doing. Because they were following St. John, they were his disciples, and St. John had a great following, he was popular. And so they didn't want, in their minds, they didn't want Christ to take over or to take that popularity away from St. John. And so they were suffering from a disease that perhaps many of us suffer from at different stages in our lives, and it's sometimes something that we neglect and ignore, and it's the sin of jealousy and envy. And they were suffering from this sin, and we know from the fathers that the sin of envy is one of those so-called deadly sins. It gives birth to many other sins. When they list the sins, they give a bunch of sins here that they categorize them like pride, like gluttony, like lust, and so on. They categorize them and they say from these sins are born all the other sins. They give root to all the other sins. And so they give birth, sorry, to all the other sins. And so the sin of envy is a dangerous one, and we must analyze ourselves and see. We can ask ourselves, when I see somebody, it could even be someone I love, who is succeeding in something that I desire to succeed in, or acquire something that is I desire to acquire, what is my feeling? Is it a feeling of joy towards my brother or sister? Or is it one of jealousy and envy, where I not only desire to have what they have, but I wish they didn't even have what they had? And that's what the fathers speak of. When they speak about envy, they speak of it as sadness which we feel on account of the good that happens to our neighbor. One of the Catholic saints, Saint John Vianney, says this. It is sadness which we feel on account of the good that happens to our neighbor. So we see our neighbor experiencing something good, and we experience sadness within. Somebody gets a raise at work, you experience sadness. Why? They got a raise, you should be happy for them. But inside, I am sad. And I look forward to and rejoice at the misfortune of the others. So when they are suffering, that's when I start rejoicing. And so the commandment of God to love my neighbor, and the Catholic epistle today, if you focus, was on the love of the neighbor. The commandment of loving my neighbor has been reversed. Instead of loving my neighbor and rejoicing, as we are told by St. Paul, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, the commandment is reversed. Instead of rejoicing with those we rejoice when they weep, and we weep when they rejoice. And so it's all turned upside down. It's a very sad disease that sometimes we experience in our lives. And Cyprian of Carthage, he says, what is odd about this disease, about this sin, unlike all the other sins, even when you sin in that way, it's unfulfilled. It remains unfulfilled. Because when you think about it, sin like gluttony, I want to eat a lot. I want to partake of delicacies. And so I eat, I stuff myself. There's a point where I'll be full. I can't eat anymore. I'm filled. The sin of lust. I want to partake in a pleasure. It's done. Khalas, it's done. You move on. But the sin of envy remains unfulfilled. And so it's a very odd sin in that it's always like an open-ended thing. And so it brings us no benefit. It gives us nothing. And again, that Catholic saint I mentioned, Saint-Jean Vanier, he says when we look at it, what is very odd is that we hate our equals because they are our equals, our inferiors from fear that they may become our equals, and our superiors because they are above us. And so basically what he's saying is we fear, we don't like those who are equal to us because they're equal to us. I wish that I was superior to them. I don't like those who are below me because I fear that they become equal to me. And I don't like those who are above me because I want to be in their position. And so he's summarizing this sin as basically hatred towards everyone. So it's a very silly sin, but it's a sin that we suffer perhaps in certain areas in our lives. And it's something that attacks You know, it could be just an acquaintance, it could be a family member, it could be a friend, it could be anything. And we see this in Scripture, throughout Scripture, it's how the devil, it all started with that, right? Pride leads to envy. And the pride of the devil led him to envy God. And through that, there was the fall of man as well. He envied man who was in a good state, Adam and Eve, in a good state with God. He envied and caused them to fall. And from there, we know all the different stories, Cain and Abel, or Joseph and his brothers, or David and Saul, and so on. The list is plenty. Until today, there's plenty of envy going on in our own lives. And so how can we overcome this? St. John gives us a beautiful example of how to overcome this sin. The first thing he says to his disciples when they come to him, he says, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. Knowing that nothing comes to me except if it is from heaven, from God himself, brings me comfort. To know that the good that I receive is from him, but also the withholding of the good in my life is also from him, this should bring me a sense of comfort. And so this principle, it gives rest to the soul. Whatever I take from your hands, O Lord, anything that I receive, I give thanks to you. And anything I don't receive, I also give thanks to you, O Lord. And St. Antony the Great, whose feast we celebrate in a few days, St. Antony the Great, when he had this principle in mind, when he was fought even by the devils came and attacked him physically. They appeared to him in the form of wild beasts and so on. And he said to the demons that appeared, if you have any authority over me, basically, if God has allowed you to come here and attack me, go ahead. But if not, then leave. He's reassured by the principle that anything from God's hands is great. It is for my benefit. Anything that is not, then what do I fear? I'm comforted by the fact that God is taking care of me. And so we need to realize that whatever it is we're envying in our brother, perhaps the Lord has withheld it from us because he knows that that very thing that we envy could lead to our own destruction. And so I should thank him for withholding it from me rather than envying my brother. The other thing he says, I told you that I am not the Christ. He knows who he is. And so we too, if we realize who we are, in many sense, anyone, I realize I'm a sinner. But in another sense, I realize the gifts that God gave me, the mission that God gave me. And so God gave me certain gifts, certain talents. And he gave my brother or sister also certain gifts and certain talents. And we are all accountable to him, not to our brothers and not to our sisters, but we are accountable to him. So on Judgment Day, he will come and ask me, what did you do with the talents I gave you? If he gave me one talent, he gave my brother 10 talents. And I am envying my brother's 9 or 10 talents that are extra. My brother will be judged on those 10 talents, whereas I will be judged on that one talent. If I am faithful to that one talent he gave me, then I score 100% in his eyes. If my brother is faithful in only 5, then he scores 50% in his eyes. And so I shouldn't be desiring what I don't have because I don't know if I would be faithful in what I don't have. But at the very least, what I do have, to realize the gifts he's given me, the talents he's giving me, and remaining faithful in it, this is very important because then I will be pleasing to God and I will be giving thanks to him for the gifts he's given me. And then that way I'll be focused on myself. The third thing, and this principle is difficult but important for us to apply in our lives, he says to them, he must increase, but I must decrease. And of course, this applies to God in our lives. God must increase and I must decrease, but it also applies to our neighbors. But first to God. Does God take the first place in my life? When I think about my relationship with God and how I behave with him, is it me first and then God? Or is it God first and then me? Or is it God? God that dominates everything in my life. And that's our objective, to empty ourselves so that God is living. When His Holiness, for those of you who read A Silent Patriarch, the new book by Father Daniel Fenouz, I recommend it to all of you. It's a beautiful book about His Holiness Pope Kyrillos VI. And in it, on the day of enthronement of His Holiness, there's this thing that's written. He addresses the bishop and priests and deacons and the congregation and lay council and so on. And he tells them we need to be united. And then he says something that he lived by his entire life. He says, let us disappear that Christ may appear in his church again. Let us disappear that Christ may appear. This is the concept here of St. John the Baptist. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let us disappear that Christ may appear in our lives, in our families, in our communities. Can I also say this about my neighbor? My neighbor, he or she must increase that, and I must decrease. I want to raise my fellow, my brother, my sister up and disappear a little. Is that something that I can do? Usually, it's the opposite. I feel like, no. I must increase and my neighbor must decrease. And not only decreased, he must be crushed. Picture with me, kida. Sometimes we think about, rising in our jobs, getting higher and higher positions and getting promotions and so on. Usually the attitude is, what do I need to do? And sometimes I'm okay with stepping on people. It's okay to be ambitious and to rise, as long as it's for the glory of God and it doesn't take you away from Him. But if you're stepping on others, if you're hurting others, then you need to reanalyze your life. He must increase, I must decrease. The humility in this is very important. Saint Isaac the Syrian, he tells us, honor flees away from before the man that runs after it. But he who flees from it, the same will hunt it down and will become to all men a herald of his humility. So basically what he's telling us, he who seeks honor, he will never have it. But he who flees away from honor will be honored by God himself. God gives grace to the humble. God honors those who are humble. God raises those who humble themselves. And this is what we see, for example, like I said, in the life of His Holiness Pope Kyrillus VI. His idea of let us disappear, and God honored him. Today, who here doesn't honor Pope Kyrillus? Who here doesn't love him? Half the church is named after Pope Kyrillus. So that's how much God honors him. And so God raised him up that way. I must decrease, he must increase. Can I say this about my spouse, the one I love, that maybe I'm fighting with? Let me disappear a little. Let me deny myself a little for the sake of my spouse, that she or he may increase. There's a story I read a couple of years ago. It was in my Google feeds about this couple that was married for a long time. I think it was close to 30 years, 25, 30 years. I don't remember the exact details. But they were fighting constantly and they were on the verge of divorce. And so one morning the man entered into the shower. He was showering and he broke down in tears and started to cry. And he was crying, thinking to himself, I love my wife. I can't communicate with her. We can't speak anymore. I'm going to lose her. So he made a decision. He walked out of the shower and he went up to her and he said to her, how can I make your day better? It was a simple question. And of course, he says initially, she mocked him. Of course, he's going to expect resistance. And if I go, I'm fighting with someone and I say this, I expect resistance. Because he was expecting resistance, he didn't stop. And every day he asked her, how can I make your day better? And she started taking him on. She started challenging him, clean up the garage today. And it was a huge task. Clean this, do that. And day after day, he would do it. And he would ask her the same question. After a few weeks, she was like, no, I need to ask you, how can I make your day better? That principle of, let me disappear. How can I make the other person increase? How can I deny myself to please the other? That healed their marriage. Let us think of the relationships in our lives where there is envy. Let us think of the relationship in our lives that are broken. And let us see if we can apply these concepts, this idea of, okay, if there's anything that I don't have that my brother or sister has, then it's from above. Let me give thanks, not only for what I have and don't have, but even for the gift my brother or sister has. I thank God for that. because they have it and they are using it faithfully. Let me also remember the talents that I have and use these faithfully as well. And let me always think of my brother or sister and say to myself, he or she must increase, I must decrease, and we will find that our relationships that may be broken are slowly repaired, are slowly healed, because in the face of humility, the devil has no strength and he is crushed. And to our God be the glory now and ever and unto the end of ages. Amen.